Well, greetings again, friends and brethren. I hope this finds everyone doing well. And if you need a title for this message today, it is, Are We Casual About Religion? Are We Casual About Religion? And I think most of us can see, hopefully, that are waking up, that seems to be an underlying attitude or problem today throughout the Laodicean era and all the churches of God, all of us out there that have gone from church to church and beginning to realize we need to wake up and hold fast to that truth and doctrine that God revealed through his end time apostle. But there is an underlying attitude out there about just being casual about religion, that it's not taken seriously as it should. And we see the fruits of that even among ourselves. We see people come and people go, and people that we become friends with and love and as our own family, and then something happens or some wind of doctrine comes along and they just are swept away. And why is this? See, why is it? And the only thing I can think of, the only reason this happens, as Mr. Armstrong addressed over the years, is we simply are not grounded in the truth. And if we're grounded in that truth and have proven it, and it's already ingrained in our heart and mind and soul, and then we shouldn't be so easily shaken when something comes along. But we see it happening. And so it poses the question for all of us, and includes myself, but even those among us that are in God's church, why are some still searching in reading other churches' material and websites, even after proving where the truth is and where God's work is? It's as if we're just not sure, you know. I'm not saying everyone has done this or is doing that, but it's as if you just haven't proven it yourself. So I'm going to be reading from an article today from Mr. Armstrong from back in the 60s, and it's entitled, Should We Listen to Others? But first, I just wanted to point out a couple of scriptures because we see this happening. And here's the thing, brother. It's got nothing to do with me. It has to do with what God and his truth and what he revealed through his apostles, including the end time apostle. Once we've proven that truth and understand where it is and what it is and where God's work is, why would we want to even search out something else, see, once you've proven that? And it's not for me to tell you. You know, I can't tell you, and I won't, that you can't read this or you can't read that, or you shouldn't go to this website or that website. That's not for me to do. You should have enough spiritual discernment on your own to know that it's all garbage out there. Once you've been enlightened by the truth from Jesus Christ, why would you want to even fathom looking at something else, see? Because it can lead to confusion if you're not grounded, and if you're still in the process of becoming grounded and learning those truths, and cling to that. You know, we have enough information that God has given us and preserved for Mr. Armstrong to last us a lifetime of reading and studying with our own Bibles. Why would we want to read some book that somebody, some self-proclaimed prophet that's just sprung up in the last year or two? Why would we want to read a book like that? Or that's just one example. But there's many others. You know, some of these websites out there have gotten way off in left field, way out, departing from God's truth. So basically what I want to do today is just remind us that we've already got such a wonderful foundation of truth and enough information and writings of Mr. Armstrong and to go along with our own Bibles to last us the rest of our lives. So why would we want to dabble in something that has false doctrine in it, see, or lies and deceit? And things that are not true. But yet we see it happening, even among ourselves, God's own people. And of course, it's happened throughout many of the churches out there, the such and such churches of God out there of Laodicea. They're all dabbling into that. And of course, some have departed from the truth willingly, some by neglect, some have just forgotten it. But they've refused, as a whole, to stay grounded in that truth. And if we would have stayed grounded in that truth, we'd still be united as a church of God. There would still be a united worldwide church of God, but there's not. We lost faith in that truth and did not stay grounded. That's why Christ says there in Revelation 3, when he speaks to this Laodicean era, He says, these things says the Amen. Verse 15, he says, I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold or hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. See? And he says, because you say I'm rich and become wealthy and have need of nothing, and do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. And then he goes on to counsel us. See, he counsels. That's what God is doing today. Christ is to all of us. He's counseling us. Because we as a whole, all of God's people, have become lukewarm during this last 21 years. Some are waking up now and repenting. And repenting means just that, to turn, change direction, go the other way. That means we need to get away from that Laodicean condition and get back to what God had given us and commanded us to hold fast to, so that we wouldn't lose our crowns, see? And I've gone over this over and over again. But still, some don't get it. And so every little wind and doctrine that comes along, some are snatched away. See, that's the way Satan operates. But also, it shows that some just are not grounded in that truth enough to be stable when something does come along to try to shake us out. So that's why I asked the question, why are some still searching, you know, reading other churches' material and websites, even after proving where the truth is and where God's work is? Notice 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And notice beginning in verse 3, it says, for the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. But according to their own desires, because they have what? Itching ears. They will heap up for themselves teachers. And as a result, look at verse 4. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. And friends and brethren, that's exactly what we see happening today. We see it happening all over around us in the churches of God, God's own people, and we've seen it happening within our own, amongst our own selves, our own group here that's holding fast. And we've seen that happen here recently, several times. And it's sad and it's heartrending and it kind of tears at you, but you realize you have to go forward. You know, you have to keep going forward and don't waver in God's truth or His work and stay grounded. But it's like there's some kind of itching ear syndrome, as mentioned here in 2 Timothy. Those that have itching ears are not satisfied for some reason, and they're just not satisfied with staying grounded in the truth that God revealed through His end-time Elijah, His end-time apostle. They have these itching ears. They want to hear something new and titillating and more exciting. But brethren, I don't know how you can find anything more exciting than the truth that God gave us through Mr. Armstrong. That shows our very purpose of being here on this earth, being called to be part of God's family and to be born into God's family. Now that's exciting, see? And all that truth was laid out so plain and clear that a child could understand it if we have God's Spirit working with us. So again, why would you want to look at something else that departs from that foundation of truth and those foundational doctrines? But today many are doing that. Many are teaching that out there and writing their books and booklets, trying to snatch God's people away from that foundation of truth into these fables. See, as it says there in verse 4, just read in 2 Timothy 4, and they will turn their ears away from the truth. See, their ears. We don't want to hear the truth anymore, and they'd be turned aside to fables. So if your ears are turned away from the truth, that means you no longer want to listen to it or hear it. And that's exactly what's happening. And they'd rather hear something a little more exciting or something like prophecy is soon to be revealed. Well, we've already been given the outline of prophecy. And the details are going to be filled as God fulfills them. We're going to live through them, hopefully. Notice Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes chapter 1, and beginning in verse 8. Actually, this whole chapter is good if you have time to read it sometime. Verse 8 says, all things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. Notice this, the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. So this is a problem with human nature that goes back to ancient times. But we see that it's very prevalent today during this Laodicean era, too, with God's own people. But the eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. Verse 9, that which has been is what will be, That which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. See? Nothing new under the sun. Verse 10. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new? It has already been in ancient times before us. See? But as a result of these itching ears, see, or the eye not satisfied with seeing, look what happens in verse 11. There's no remembrance of former things. See? Nor will there be any remembrance of things that are to come by those who will come after. So, the result of having these unsatisfied ears and eyes is that they lose remembrance of those things. That's part of what the admonishment is through the work going out through this website today, is to bring us into remembrance of those things which God gave us from the beginning. That's why I often go to, wasn't in my notes here, but I'm going to do it anyway. Just came to mind. That's why I often go to Jeremiah, for example, and notice, see, Jeremiah chapter 6. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. It's an admonishment to us. Stand in the ways and see. See, if we stand in those ways that God revealed to us, we will be able to see. Stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths where the good way is, and walk in it. See, walk in that good way. That good way of the plain truth that God revealed to us through His apostle that was restored. All that truth that was lost over the centuries and God restored back into His church in the end time through His apostle. That's the good way, see, and we're to walk in it. So we should be standing in that way so we can see and ask for those old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then, see, only then will you find rest for your souls. But here's what's happened to God's people today, that they said, we will not walk in it. See, we will not. See, as a result, verse 17 begins, I set watchmen, plural, over you, saying, listen to the sound. So it goes on to that, and I've gone over that before. So, but as a result of them saying, we will not walk in it, that good way, see, then God does set watchmen up to warn them that calamity is about to come upon the spiritual nation of Zion, or God's people, and also the physical nations of Israel. That calamity or great tribulation is at the very doors. So this our whole work is about warning God's people. You know, there are people that ask today, well, what do we do with our tithes? We don't see a ministry. So I ask them, well, do you see a work? If you see where God's work is and God's truth is, there you go. That's one of the two prerequisites for tithing. If one is to support the ministry, which is obviously gone off track today, but the second is to support God's work. And if you see where that work is and where that truth is, well, there you go. That there's still a prerequisite for tithing. It's very simple. I didn't mean to get off on that track, but so that ties right into what God's work is. Notice also Amos chapter 8. I was going to really go over some of these at the end of the message, but I want to go, and I still may again, after I read what Mr. Armstrong has to say about all this. So Amos chapter 8, and I've covered this recently, but here we are, see, here we are. Amos chapter 8 and verse 11. Behold, the days are coming, says the eternal God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water. Although, see, those famines are coming, because prophecy shows in the great tribulation. Let's look at here. But it's not of bread or water, but of hearing the words of the eternal. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east, and shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. So here we are today with people running to and fro. We have people that come among us for a short time, and they seem very enthusiastic and grounded and want to hold fast and very excited about being a part of us. And then something happens, just a little wind of doctrine comes along, some little booklet or writing, or somebody whispers in their ear, and boom, they're gone. See? Well, that's sad, and it shouldn't be that way, because it just shows that those people are not grounded in the truth to begin with, not truly grounded. This truth, brethren, Mr. Armstrong often said, this knowledge that God has given us is dangerous knowledge. See, it is dangerous. It's life-saving knowledge if we live by it and cling to it with all of our might. But it's also dangerous knowledge if you depart from it. It's very dangerous if we depart from it. It could cost us our eternal lives. It's that serious. So that's why I asked the question at the beginning, or the title here, are we casual about religion? We shouldn't be. If we've dedicated ourselves to this way of life, which begins at our baptism, we should not be casual about this way of life and about this knowledge that God has given us. It's that important. So please don't take your beliefs in religion casually. We see that happening in the world out here and the false religions around us. We see it happening in God's own church today with all these splits and splinters and divisions. There's just too much of a casual approach. But it doesn't matter what you believe. And as long as you attend somewhere, you just got to attend somewhere. Well, they've missed the whole concept of what the church is. It's not about attendance. It's not about where you attend or how often you attend. It's about what you believe, what's in your heart and mind, see? So with that truth and knowledge that Mr. Armstrong gave us, which came from Jesus Christ through him, he was just an instrument. So people today are very adamant. I constantly get emails trying to correct me because they say I put Mr. Armstrong before God, or they say that I worship Mr. Armstrong, and that means anyone in association with us, our group. That's not true. We know that. But there's blinded, see? And many of those are some of the people in the world, but some are also of God's own people who once believed the same things. And so they've twisted their minds, allowed their minds to be twisted. And so now they think we're putting Mr. Armstrong before God, or they think we worship Mr. Armstrong, and we do not. We just simply realize and acknowledge that without God using him to reveal that truth and restore it, we wouldn't know how to worship the true God, see? So that does put a lot of importance on that man, Mr. Armstrong. It certainly does. But we don't worship him. You know, he's a fellow brother in Christ, and he's waiting his resurrection into God's family, just like many of us that have died in the faith over the years. And we hope that if we live into that time, that we'll be changed and become part of that same family. But no, we don't worship Mr. Armstrong, but we do certainly acknowledge what God Almighty and Jesus Christ did through him. And if it wasn't for that, using him as a human instrument to reveal and restore that truth, we would be lost. See, we would be lost because we wouldn't know how to worship the true God. We wouldn't know who he is. We wouldn't have that understanding of the plan of God and all these wonderful truths that have been revealed and restored. So, yes, it is important to understand the role that Mr. Armstrong played. But the point is here, brethren, are we casual about our religion, about what we believe? Are we casual? Notice Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, and here Paul says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." So today we do have teachers. That's what I do. I teach, and all I do is simply teach what and remind us of what God already gave us through his end-time apostles. See, those all things. Verse 12, "For the equipping of the saints, and for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." See, that's what we want to do. "Until we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature and the fullness of Christ." But notice verse 14, "that we should no longer," see, "we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting." Well, we should be able to see that that's happened today, hasn't it, brethren? We see it happening all around us. And that's why many of you are with us in this church, because we understand that's exactly what has happened to God's people. And by the grace of God, we're waking up from that and returning to that foundation of truth. I want to read now from this article that Mr. Armstrong wrote back in the 60s. Okay, so I'll begin reading this article from Mr. Armstrong, "Should We Listen to Others?" And this first section really addresses exactly what I've been trying to bring out all along here so far in this message, because this first section really covers the Laodicean attitude in a nutshell. Mr. Armstrong began reading. He says, "After you have come to a knowledge of the truth," see, "after you have come to a knowledge of the truth, have repented and been baptized, and by the Holy Spirit been put into the true church of God, is it all right to attend some other church? Well, you might reply, here's the way I look at it. But wait," he says, "stop right there. If you have truly repented, you have stopped using human reasoning and acting according to the way you look at it. If you had the faith in Christ as personal Savior to be baptized into him, you were accepting him as your Lord and Master to obey what he says, not the way you look at it. If you have received God's Holy Spirit, it is to lead you into all truth," see, which means understanding of God's Word and what it instructs in all of His questions so that you know what to obey. We'll pause from reading. That's the introduction to this. And I just love the way he covers what this Laodicean condition is today. Well, you might reply, this is, here's the way I look at it. So I've addressed this many times in my messages because that is an underlying argument today, what causes people to depart from the truth and twist it. And they always say, here's the way I look at it. And my response to that is, but we should be thinking about the way God looks at it. See, what does God say? Anyway, the next subtitle is the scriptural answer. Therefore, you will look into the Bible for your answer. Suppose you live in an area where God's church has not yet established a local congregation. There is no place in reach for you to attend services unless you attend some other church. It has seemed to many in this situation that since Seventh-day Adventists keep the right day, it would be all right to attend the nearest church of their denomination. Besides, it's not necessary to keep your children in Sabbath school. See, it has come to our attention that several of our members have reasoned in this manner. Isn't it necessary as a Christian duty to attend regular church services, they say? The world has its churches. The world has its religions, replete with false teachings, false doctrines, pagan practices. One of its basic beliefs and practices is that it is necessary to your salvation to attend church. You see the slogan, attend church, along the highways on billboards. You read that slogan on the Saturday church page of your daily newspaper. You see it in signs or bulletin boards posted outside of church buildings. You hear it on radio and TV. You have been told by the world, attend church. So many times you have come to assume without thinking that it is the teaching of your Bible. But is it? Continuing on, Armstrong says, you may be surprised to know that there is only one passage in all the New Testament giving any direct instruction to assemble with others. And he quotes it, let us consider one another to provoke and to love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. That's Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. Mr. Armstrong says, even there, it is not a direct command that you must assemble together with others in the church, for the simple reason that God knew when He inspired His instruction to us that some would be living where there is no church to attend. Notice the command is not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together. If there is no church in which to assemble, you are not forsaking the assembling together. The very words not forsaking mean you are not to abandon or not to refuse assembling, not to desert assembling. See the dictionary. It implies running away from or refusing to assemble. If you live close enough to one of God's churches to attend His Sabbath services and you refuse to attend or desert attending or abandon attending or neglect it, then you are breaking this command. But, see, on the other hand, if you live where God does not have a church near enough to attend, then you are certainly not refusing, abandoning, or deserting attendance, because that attendance is not in your power. Well, break from reading. Well, that's true, brethren. And today, here we are now with over 450 splits and divisions of what was once this church that Mr. Armstrong was addressing, see, the Worldwide Church of God. In fact, it was the Radio Church of God at that time, back in the early to mid-60s. But it's so today, with the ministry going off track, we still were not able to attend regular church services with a group. We meet in our homes, and most of you are alone in your homes and listen to Mr. Armstrong, or occasionally myself. So he's got a good point here about that scripture. Now, notice what he goes on to say, local churches. Does this mean that God makes light of church attendance, that it is not important, that we ought not attend? Not at all. The Sabbath is a holy convocation, Leviticus 23, verse 2, which is a command and assembly. Once you are commanded to, you are commanded to attend. But, of course, this command applies within the realm of your ability. If you are confined to bed with sickness, you are unable to attend. If you live 200 miles away from God's church, you are unable to attend with regularity. During the apostolic days, many local churches were established, and so were the churches established. Acts 16, verse 5, it says, So ordain I in all churches, says the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17. Nothing is said about whether they, nothing is said about whether they had large and ornate buildings, but the implication is that they did not. Some merely met in the houses of members. The churches of Asia salute you. Aquila and Priscilla salute you. Much in the Lord with the church that is in their house. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19. he says in Colossians 4, verse 15, you read of the church in Nymphas' house in Laodicea. And this evidently was one of the important churches. There was a church in Philemon's house. That's in Philemon, verse 2. I will read this next statement, even though it's hard to apply it today. It says, however, Scripture teaches against brethren assembling in small groups in private homes without a minister to lead them. Well, break from reading. Well, today, as we can see around through the history of, look around us and see the history that all of God's minister, all of them, every single one of them are off track. And I've covered that many times in Ezekiel 34 and Jeremiah 23 and other places. But he goes on to say, and Mr. Armstrong says, you read in Acts 14:23 that Paul and Barnabas ordained elders in every church. There were no churches without ordained leaders. See, at this time he didn't say ministers. He says there were no churches without ordained leaders. So that means that can include deacons. So today we do have a couple of deacons in God's church, one in the United States and one in South Africa. But we're still very scattered, so we can't attend as a group every Sabbath. So even before this point in time, though, if you go back and look when the apostles were first on the scene, when Christ first ordained them as apostles, there were no ministers. There were deacons. There was apostles and deacons. You look in Acts chapter 6. I've covered that before, 5 and 6 and 7. And before there was a ministry established later on down the line, it was just the apostles, and then they had ordained some deacons under them to help them. No ministry to speak of in between. So it took time to build up to that point to where there were ordained leaders in every church. Okay, the next subtitle is Attending Other Churches. Now see, pause from reading. The reason why I'm bringing this up is because when we apply it today to this little faithful church, those in this body of Christ that are holding fast, and we see people come and go, and you just have to marvel and wonder why. Why do they do that? Why do they get carried off and just go here and go there? Or it's that attitude of being casual about religion and not grounded in the truth. So it's one reason I wanted to read this article, because we can apply it to today. There's a lot of good information here. But anyway, the subtitle is Attending Other Churches. But now, what about attending some other church? How does God say we must worship Him? You see signs and slogans in the world to this effect. Let every man worship God according to the dictates of his own conscience. His own conscience. But Mr. Armstrong says that is contrary to God's instruction. To a woman of the world, Jesus said, You worship, you know not what. Then he said, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in what? Truth. See? And in truth. What truth is that? See, that's the question I ask. And that's in John chapter 4, verse 22 and 24. God will not accept worship according to the dictates of man's conscience. To be acceptable to Him, you must worship Him in spirit. That is, you must have within you His Holy Spirit, which He gives only to those that obey Him. Acts 5:32. And you must worship Him in truth. What is truth? Jesus said, Thy word is truth. You must worship Him according to the Bible. With whom are we to have fellowship? The Apostle John, in his first letter, declared God's truth in order that you may have fellowship with us, showing we can have fellowship only with those who know and what? Obey the truth. So pause from reading. Here's the problem today, see, that some may even know the truth, but they don't obey it. If God's people today were still obeying the truth, we would still all be together. But many today refuse to obey the truth, and even some that have come among us. And that's why they don't stay long. They don't want to obey that truth. It's too hard for them, see? Then he goes on to Mr. Armstrong, continue reading. Do you know any other church that knows, believes, preaches, and obeys the truth? That keeps this true Sabbath and also God's holy days and festivals? That knows the resurrection was on the Sabbath and the crucifixion on Wednesday? That knows God's purpose is that we, now mortal, are to be begotten and then after a life of overcoming, growing in knowledge of Christ and in grace, developing godly character, are to be born of God, at which time we become divine members of the very God family. that the soul is immortal, that this is not the time God is trying to save the world, but only His first fruits, that Christ is coming to rule all nations with God's world government on earth for 1,000 years, and that the gospel message of the kingdom of God, which is both the world government of God and the family of God into which we may be born, and many other truths, he says, and many other truths held and proclaimed only by this one and only true church of God. We'll pause from reading again. Well, there you go. That's how you find the true church of God. See, all those truths, all of those truths that are still being held onto. He goes on to say, no other church on earth knows, obeys, and proclaims this truth of God. So he puts a lot of emphasis here, Mr. Armstrong does, which I've tried to do recently, is to show that the truth is something that has to be obeyed, see, and lived by. Not just something that you are casual about. He goes on and says, now continue what John says about fellowship, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That's in 1 John 3. Certainly it is. And we can't even have that fellowship if we don't fellowship in spirit and in truth. Now continue on. He says, our fellowship is, first of all, with God the Father and with Jesus Christ. See, first of all, first and foremost. If I have fellowship with Christ and you have fellowship with Christ, then He joins you and me together in fellowship. You cannot have true Christian fellowship with any except those who have also have fellowship with God the Father and Christ. But who does have fellowship with God? Just anybody? Members of worldly churches? Listen, and I'll pause right here. Members of other Laodicean churches? See, you can add that in there because of bringing it up to date. Now he goes on to say, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. That means we don't do the truth, see? We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, or the truth, we have fellowship with one another. See, that's verse 6 and 7. Brethren, that narrows fellowship, assembling together for worship, down to only those who are in God's truth. See, let me read that again. Brethren, that narrows fellowship, assembling together for worship, down to only those who are in God's truth, the true light, and who obey it. See, emphasis on that. And who obey it. That's the key today, break from reading, is that people don't obey God's truth. I continue reading. And that means only those whom God has by His Holy Spirit put into His true church. We are barred from fellowship or worship with any others. Think about that. Pause from reading. We are barred from fellowship or worship with any others, Mr. Armstrong says. Well, it's the same today. See, the same today. That's why I've had to make comments or statements or emails about some that have left from us, and some that have come of God have done it peacefully. The majority, you know, probably a half dozen or more in the last year or so, last couple of years, actually more than that, have come and go. And for the most part, it's just peacefully. They just go their own way. But there has been one or two that have departed at the same time trying to draw away others and causing division and dissension. Well, when that happens, we have to mark them. And Mr. Armstrong goes on to show this later on. It's a horrible thing to have to do. I didn't put anybody, I still to this day have not put anyone out of the body of Christ. I don't have the authority. I can't do that. But people take themselves out, see, and then they go their own way. And that's all fine and well. But if someone does it and at the same time causes division and dissension and attacks us, then it has to be something done and said and put to a stop. And that simply means to mark them or take note of them and to avoid them. But I don't put anybody out. I can't do that, see. But we can mark them. That just simply means to take note of them, to avoid them, because they're causing division and trying to draw people away. And we've seen that happen. Mr. Armstrong continues, the Church of God at Corinth was threatened with division. Isn't that interesting? The Church of God at Corinth was threatened with division. It needed correction. See, we all need correction, brethren, especially in this Laodicean era. It needed correction. Why? One preferred Paul as a minister, another wanted to follow Apollos, another Peter, and some Christ. Listen to Paul's correction. He says, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind, in the same judgment. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. Mr. Armstrong says we must have fellowship only with Jesus Christ and those who are together in the truth all speaking the same truth. Pause from reading. We'll look around today, and what do we see? See, too many variations of that truth and watering down. But then again, look around today and see who has that truth. Who has it? Who has that truth? Well, if you've discerned who has that truth, why would you want to depart from it? See, once you're back to it again. Mr. Armstrong, continue reading. He says, now suppose you try to find fellowship with members of a Seventh Day. Now, he uses different church groups here as an example for that time period. But you could put any other such and such Church of God that we have out there today in here as a replacement, see? Now suppose you try to find fellowship with members of a Seventh-day Adventist church. They may worship on the right day, but they do not keep God's annual Sabbaths and festivals. They do not proclaim the true gospel of the kingdom of God, which is to rule the earth for the millennium. They do not believe we are to be actually born into the divine glorified family or kingdom of God, and they do break the second commandment with their many idolatrous pictures of a long-haired man they falsely call Christ. And listen to this, here's the key. They do believe lies and errors, see, such as their sanctuary question, investigative judgment, Mrs. White's inspiration as God's prophet going to heaven, etc., etc. Break from reading. Well, same today, see, brother. Look at all the divisions out there of God's church, and how many of them believe lies and errors, see. That's why I said you could put any, replace that Seventh-day Adventist, what he said, you could replace it with such and such Church of God out there. Because they do believe lies and errors, and they've watered down the truth and departed from it. Plus, they have all these men out there claiming to be prophets and apostles and the two witnesses and all, etc., etc. Mr. Armstrong goes on. He says, suppose you try to find fellowship with Baptists, the Church of Christ, Methodists. They believe in the immortality of the soul. If they have not gone modernist, they do not obey God's law and therefore cannot have His Holy Spirit. There is no basis whatsoever for fellowship with them. They are deceived and carnal. They are of the unfruitful works of darkness. My brethren, the same is what's happening to God's church today when they depart from that truth. You know, I'll cover a scripture before I close here about that. God gives us a warning in Hebrews chapter 6 about that. He continues on, God commands you, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness, that's keeping of God's commandments, with unrighteousness, and what communion has light, or see, or truth, with darkness? Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Eternal. That's in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 17. The next subtitle, the next subtitle is In, but Not of the World. Mr. Armstrong says, all this does not mean that we cannot have any contacts with this world or people of other beliefs. It does not mean that you cannot buy groceries or merchandise in a store staffed with unbelievers or with professing Christians of other beliefs. See, it doesn't mean that, but it does have to do with fellowship. Continue reading. Excuse me, Paul clears this up. He says, I did not mean, and he's reading from the Moffat here, so it sounds in plain English. So Mr. Armstrong's quoting this from the Moffat translation. Paul says, I did not mean you were literally to avoid contact with the immoral of this world, with the lustful and the thievish, or with idolaters. In that case, you would have to leave the world altogether. What I now write is that you are not to associate with any so-called brother. See, you're not to associate with any so-called brother. Associate with him. Do not even eat with him. Unquote. That's 1 Corinthians 5. Verses 10 and 11 from the Moffat translation. So what Mr. Armstrong is saying there has to do with those that are so-called brothers. Continue reading. He says, we are not to have social or religious fellowship or close friendship with any except those who know and obey the truth. See, those who know and obey the truth. We must not try to worship with them or attend their churches. See, like the such and such Church of God today that many are just coming to and fro, you know, going from one group to another. And it's like it says in Amos, they're going from north to south, east to west, looking for the word of the Lord, but they will not find it because they've lost the way. See, they've departed from that truth so far, and so far asleep. They're just in that, and they have attitude. It doesn't matter which church, just find one that you're comfortable with. And many attitudes out there today are just, it's just wrong to stay at home. You can't worship God that way. You've got to attend somewhere. Well, how can you do that, brethren, if you know what they're preaching and teaching is false. How can you go to a service and say amen, which means so be it, or I'm in agreement, how can you say amen to the opening and closing prayers of a service that you know is false and teaching false doctrine or watered down doctrine? See, you shouldn't. you shouldn't have the conscience to be able to do that. Continue reading. In Jesus' last prayer for his church, for us, he prayed the Father, I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil, or evil one. That's John 17, verses 14 and 15. Again, God instructs Paul, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians 5:11. Mr. Armstrong says, here's some interesting comments. He says, you can worship God three times a day in a private room behind closed doors on your knees in prayer. Do you? See, that's not a command to do that. That was an example that the prophet Daniel had done, and that's recorded in Daniel, that that's what he happened to do. It's a good example. It's not always practical for us to pray three times a day. If you're out in public, you can't do that. But it's still a good example. He goes on and says, you can have family worship in your home, husband, wife, and children every morning. Do you? See, or you can do it at night. You notice this. He says, you can join thousands of our own church brethren in daily worship by sitting quietly before your radio while the World Tomorrow program is on the air. Do you? Isn't that interesting? Well, the World Tomorrow program is not on like it was. However, it is on through our radio station, the Radio Church of God, our radio website. And I have Mr. Armstrong's broadcast going 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So see, that's a good comment Mr. Armstrong said there. You can join thousands of our own church brethren in daily worship by sitting quietly before your radio while the World Tomorrow program is on the air. Do you? It's interesting. Then he goes on to say, if you hunger for fellowship, remember you can and must, for true worship, have regular daily fellowship with Christ and with God the Father, to whom Christ has given you direct access in prayer. That's a profound statement, brother. We must have that daily contact with God. That is, our fellowship is with God above all. Okay, this next section is, next title is, should you admit Jehovah Witnesses? And I put to the side there, or any of the splits from God's church, ? Because see, you can apply this to today. So he's just using another example here. He says, when the so-called Jehovah Witnesses come to your door, should you admit them? Well, the way I look at it, some might say, is this. It wouldn't be discourteous not to admit them, and that it would not be Christian, would it? Mr. Armstrong says, but how does God look at it? See, that's the question I ask often. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways. Your ways, my ways, saith the Eternal. That's Isaiah 55, verse 8. What does God command? And he quotes this scripture, for many deceivers, and he puts parentheses, Jehovah Witnesses, and we could also add there the splinter groups from Church of God. You know, same application today. Many deceivers are entered into the world. Whosoever transgress and abides not, or obeys not, in the doctrine of Christ. Now, see, pause right there. What is that doctrine? See, what is that doctrine of Christ? Well, we should know. God revealed it and restored it through Mr. Armstrong in the end time. So whoever transgresses and abides not or obeys not in the doctrine of Christ has not God. If there come any to you and bring not this doctrine, see, and he's got parentheses, of Christ and of God's true church, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed, for he that bids him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. That's 2 John, verses 7 through 11. And I'm going to skip over to the next page for sake of time. And this is really getting to the crux of it here. Mr. Armstrong says, here's the subtitle, is the greatest danger of all. The greatest danger of all. He says, but all these temptations to ensnare you into the world, into false doctrines, into forbidden fellowship or false worship are mild compared to the one in our very midst, hardest of all to resist. See, they're all mild compared to the ones in our very midst, the hardest of all to resist. That is the impulse to listen to the professed brother, see, or sister in the church, one supposedly of our own membership, who begins to say to you or to a group standing on the tabernacle grounds, and you could tell this was written back in the 60s, that he is not quite sure he agrees with something of one of God's ministers has said, or with something said on the World Tomorrow program, or with something in one of our magazines or booklets or articles. See, the plain truth, Mr. Armstrong wrote. Several times, in fact, almost every festival, someone on the grounds will approach one or two members with an argument or interpretation of his own of some point or question of Scripture which is contrary to the doctrine of God's own church. Usually a crowd begins to gather quickly. It seems many are such dumb sheep and so naive and unthinking and ready to be deceived by Satan that they are all ears at once. Pause from reading. Well, that's what I addressed earlier with those itching ears. See, they want to hear something different, something new. Why? Why is why I ask. Why would you want to hear something contrary to God's doctrine or to that truth? Anyway, it says they're all ears at once. This sort of thing seems to stimulate a certain excitement and interest to see what this fellow has to say, that many of you members just can't resist crowding up to hear him. It seems to fascinate you. Now listen to God's teaching. The Apostle Paul, speaking his farewell to the elders of the large church of God at Ephesus, said, I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise. See, you of the church, he's talking to those elders. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. In Acts chapter 20 verses 29 through 30. Let me pause here and go back to this first statement where Paul says, I know this, that after my departing. Well, we could put Mr. Armstrong right there, because after Mr. Armstrong departed, see, and after he died, what happened? What happened after Mr. Armstrong died? Grievous wolves entered in among us, not sparing the flock, and also of your own selves. I see us addressing the elders, that men arose speaking perverse things to draw away disciples. So that's exactly what has happened. See, after Paul died, that apostle, but also after the end time apostle died, the same exact thing happened. So history repeated itself. And we should be able to clearly see that today. Mr. Armstrong says, that did happen in that church. The greatest danger of all is when one who is among us, supposed to be one of us, approaches you with some doctrine or interpretation contrary to that of God's church and of God's ministers, whether it be so-called Jehovah's Witnesses or even one supposedly a member of God's own church. Remember this command, and he quotes this scripture, if there come any to you, any unto you, it does not say member of another church, it says if any come to you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, don't listen to him, unquote. Mr. Armstrong says, if you see a little group gathering around a man or a woman on the tabernacle grounds or at your local church, and this person is disagreeing with God's ministers, see, that includes God's apostle, or God's church, report this to a minister or a deacon at once. That's what Mr. Armstrong's instruction is to us, brethren. Continuing on, there have been at least two different women who have come to the tabernacle, either at Passover time or at the Feast of Tabernacles, who devoted themselves busily trying to teach different and false doctrines, especially to the women. We have had to put them off the grounds and forbid them to return. One woman tried to argue contrary doctrines privately in the tents and still booths of members, hoping not to be seen or caught by one of the ministers. We'll pause from reading. Has that happened today, brethren? Have we seen that happen even among ourselves? We certainly have. We certainly have. Mr. Armstrong continues, it is your duty to report such an activity to a minister or deacon immediately. Next subtitle is, didn't I say listen? Didn't I say listen? But some will say, but didn't you say over the air for us to listen to you and also to listen to all others, but not to believe you and not to believe the others, but to believe what we see in the Bible? Mr. Armstrong says, brethren, when I speak on the air, I'm speaking to the outside world, to the unconverted. I am not speaking just to those who should already know the truth. See, I'm not speaking just to those who should already know the truth. These people all around the world who listen to me on the radio do not know whether I am a false prophet, a minister of God, or what. To them, yes, I say, do not believe men, believe your Bible. That is what you should have done before you knew the truth. Probably it was because you did that you did do that, that you saw the truth with your own eyes in your Bible. Perhaps that is what brought you into the truth and led you to God's one and only true church. To people who do know that this is the only true church of God, I do say those very things. But to you, excuse me, to people who do not know that this is the only, let me say this again, to people who do not know that this is the only true church of God, I do say those very things. But to you, see, but to you who have proved this is God's church, it is different. But, you say, are you no longer supposed to prove all things by your own Bible? Yes, of course you are. Then it is wrong for you to prove these things for yourself in your own Bible? No, not at all, Mr. Armstrong says. What we say is do not listen any longer to those who bring a different doctrine. If you have already seen these truths for yourselves, already proved them in your own Bible, already proved this is the true church of God, then God's teaching, as I have shown you in this article from the Bible, do not listen to those who bring a different doctrine. Pause from reading. But isn't that wonderful? See, this is the whole point I've been trying to get to in this message. But see, it's still happening today. See, it's still happening today. People that already should know the truth are still looking at different doctrines, different teachings. So they're carried away by every wind of doctrine. Let me just read this last paragraph again. It says, the question is, then it is wrong for you to prove these things for yourself in your own Bible? Mr. Armstrong says, not at all. What we say is do not listen any longer to those who bring a different doctrine. If you have already seen these truths for yourself, already proved them in your own Bible, already proved this is the true church of God, then God's teaching, as I have shown you in this article from the Bible, do not listen to those who bring a different doctrine. See? But see, that's what's still happening today. People are still doing that. That's why I asked the question at the beginning, why are some still searching and reading other churches' material and websites even after proving where the truth is and where God's work is? It's insane. It's just going to lead to confusion unless you're just not grounded and want to see if what else is out there. I mean, I can't tell you what to read and what not to read. I'm just looking at it from my point of view here is that I've gone through all this spiritual crap before, brethren, from one church to another, and it's all garbage. And to be able to get back to this glorious life-saving truth, and we have a lifetime of material that will keep us busy for years if we'll go back and read what God wrote through Mr. Armstrong. See? That's what we should be studying into, not all this other trash out there. We should be going back into our own Bibles with those correspondence courses and through Mr. Armstrong's books, Mystery of the Ages, and all of those books and booklets and articles that God inspired him to write will keep us busy for countless hours and days and weeks and months. See? And so if we have all that on hand, why would we want to go look at something else? But people still do that, and they get carried away because they're not grounded. See, we should be, if we did study that truth that we have, we would become more grounded, and then nothing will pull you away if you truly believe it and are converted by it. Okay, continue reading here. Mr. Armstrong says, in God's church, we ministers do not tell you what to believe and command you to believe us without even looking into your Bible. That's what the Roman Catholic Church does, but not God's church. Of what does the preaching of God's ministers consist? Do we not preach the word just as we are commanded? 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. Do not our sermons to you in the church consist of expounding the scriptures or proving to you in your own Bibles the true doctrines of God? Pause from reading. Well, unfortunately today, the ministry no longer does this. See, they no longer do that today. But Mr. Armstrong did, and we still have his writings preserved for us. See, that's my point. Continue reading. But what about the articles we write? Do they not consist of expounding scriptures, proving the truths about the scriptures so that you can see the things for yourself in your own Bibles? Is not that what I am doing now in this very article? Am I now asking you to merely believe me, to take my word without proving it to you by God's word? See, of course not. Pause from reading because, see, again, he points back to these articles and booklets that God inspired him to write. Continue reading. But suppose when you study your own Bible, you come across something you feel is contrary to the teaching of the church. Must you hide your eyes from what you see in your Bible? Certainly not. Well then, can you go to other members with it to set them straight? Certainly not. That would only tend to cause division. The Bible teaches us that we must all speak the same thing. Well, what shall you do then? Listen, understand this. You must not go to any other member with what you feel you have found is contrary to the church's teaching. Instead, you must bring it to the ministers. If you are a member of a local congregation, take it to your pastor. Go into it with him, but with no one else, lest you foment divisions, foment or cause division, and be cast out of the church. If there is no local pastor, bring it to one of God's ministers or write it into headquarters. God's ministers will go into it with you. If you are right, if you have found any place in the Bible where we are in error, then we want to know it. We hate error and love truth, even though the truth corrects and reproves us. Bring it to us. If you are wrong, we will patiently show you and explain it more perfectly to you. If we are wrong, we will correct it before the whole church, so that all in the church may, with one mind, believe the truth and speak the same thing. If any other member comes to you to point out where the church is wrong, do not listen. Rather, tell him to take it to the church, and then report him to headquarters. This, brethren, is the only way we can have unity. Well, pause for reading. I did read that last section, even though it addresses the ministry a lot. Of course, they're off track today, but the principle still applies. And I think most of us realize in this group that these doctrines are set in order, set by Jesus Christ through his apostles. And hopefully, we are in agreement with all of those doctrines and truths. And if not, then most people usually wind up just going their own way, because I certainly don't have the authority to change any doctrine, so I can't take it to ministers or Mr. Armstrong today. Of course, I can't take it to the ministers because they've already watered down God's truth, and Mr. Armstrong is dead and sealed for the resurrection. So what was set at the time of his death or was bound in heaven by God Almighty, so says his word. So we don't have the authority to change anything. So we either live by that doctrine and that truth, or we just go our own way. So before I close here, I want to look at a couple of scriptures briefly. Notice Hebrews chapter 6. I'm running out of time here. Hebrews chapter 6, in verse 4 it says, "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened," see that truth, "and have tasted the heavenly gift and have become partakers of the Holy Spirit and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come, if they fall away, to renew them again to repentance, since they crucify again for themselves the Son of God and put him to an open shame." So God's saying it's almost impossible to renew that repentance once they turn away. So we can only hope those that have turned away were just not converted yet or grounded. Finally, let's look in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 21, it says, "And you," this is all of us, "and you who once were alienated and enemies in your own mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled." See, God's reconciled us. Verse 22, "in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. If," verse 23, if we indeed continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast." That's how we continue in the faith and we won't fall away. "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard." See, that's our calling, that hope of the gospel, to make it into his kingdom, "which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." So if we, verse 22 can be fulfilled. We can be presented holy and blameless in his sight, if indeed, verse 23, we continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away. Well, how does one become moved away? See, well, moved away or carried away by every wind of doctrine. But it won't happen if we stay steadfast and grounded in the faith. That's the belief system of Jesus Christ, all those truths and doctrines. So, brethren, I hope this has helped. It really, I'm just trying to put the emphasis on us not being casual about our religion. This is a way of life. It's dangerous knowledge, as Mr. Armstrong said. It has everything to do with life and death. So let's not be casual about it. Our lives are at stake here, our eternal lives, see. So take it seriously, and let's not any of us be casual about our religion. So until next time, do take care. I love you all.